Hey everyone, I'm Susan Campbell and you're listening to Unfiltered, a podcast where my team of marketing professionals share their thoughts on all things branding. You'll laugh, you'll learn, and hopefully walk away with new info about how to market your business. Enjoy.
It's Anna West and the boys again. We should start a band.
Anna West and the boys?
We wouldn't make any money.
Or book any shows.
We'd be really bad.
Yeah, we'd be horrible.
I can't sing.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Today on Unfiltered Marketing, we're going to continue to be unfiltered because that's just who we are. But we're going to talk about the pitfalls of trying to build a website on a dime or zero dimes. There are some of those options out there.
Yes, absolutely.
This is actually a topic we discussed with Brian. I think the only other time you've been on the podcast.
The pilot episode.
Was it the pilot episode?
No. I don't know.
It was not long after. Season one, 2017. So we talked about it a little bit. Our opinion has not changed. And we also feel the need to talk about it again because as a small business, we understand that your resources are limited. But dear God, stop making bad websites. And also stop thinking that you should be able to build a website for like $250. I've got a story. There is a... You all right? There's a man who contacted us about building a website for him. Really the cheapest website that we'll even do is like around $3,500 because with the amount of talent sitting around this table alone, you pay for what you get. So we build quality websites and they take time. There's multiple people involved and we create the content and the graphics and custom code sometimes, depending on how much you're paying. So this guy called me and asked for this, told me what he was looking for. I gave him a proposal and he called me and chewed me out. Said that he used to own a web design company and you should be able to build a website that he's looking for $250 and what could possibly cost more than a few hundred dollars for a basic website.
Keyword, used to own a web design company.
Right, like how many years ago, bro?
Or was his price point too low that he was driven out of business?
Things have evolved since
right.
then.
That's fair, yeah.
But Brian, had you been on that call,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what would you have said? But here's what I said to him. I said, I'm sorry you feel that way. Absolutely. If you want to build a website for $250, go to...
Yeah, I mean...
Squarespace.
Well, right. I would probably have been a little unfiltered, but...
Yes, know. Please. This is Unfiltered Marketing. Yeah, Tell us exactly what you would have said.
Here's the thing. I mean, I think there's a distinction that needs to be made is that you can't build a website for $250. You absolutely can. I mean, you can build a website for $0 if you want to learn how to make websites or code from scratch and do that. But of course, it's what's more valuable to your money or your time. And a lot
Boom.
Of the...
That needs to be put on a t-shirt.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of the expectations around someone like that is... I mean, yeah, when I was 12 years old, I built websites for $250 because, man, I could buy Xbox games. you know, but that was my only cost or, you know, only thing that I was trying to do. So there is definitely budget options on the market, both in like the very, very low end, like contract work, people who are just getting started out, want to give it away for nothing, or, you know, your cousin's best friend's, you know, nephew who builds websites. And then there's obviously the DIY space, mm-hmm. which, you know, I think one of the reasons that people tend to think that the cost of hiring a web developer is, you know, in that price point is because of, you know, kind of the penetration into the zeitgeist is that DIY web builders exist. Mm-hmm. You're getting ads from web.com, you know, GoDaddy page builder and whatnot. But where that tends to break down is when you start asking the questions of, well, what if I want my website to do this?
Yeah.
What if I want my website to do this?
What if I want to add e-commerce?
Right, yeah.
What if I want to add a blog?
Well, and I think one of the things is, you know, there are solutions that exist to make those things easier to do for a DIY shop. But I think the trick is when you start wanting to do, okay, how do I want my contact form to integrate with my marketing automation? And that's the question that, you know, call up Wix.com, they're going to be like, I mean, you're going to be put on hold for one thing. But, you know, I mean, it's comes down to, okay, well, if you have a web developer, they can do that for you. So mm-hmm. I think it's understanding is where we are in the market. The people that we're, you know, working with aren't generally, you know, mom bloggers who
right.
can get a website for $10-$50. They're corporations who want to make sure that their content is secure, that their website has the functionality that they need, mm-hmm. and they want it to solve a very specific business goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of where we play. So someone like him, he's just not our market.
Yeah, and that was annoying as it was to be chewed out by a dude I don't know. I'd be like, okay, sorry, go somewhere else. Like, I had no problem saying, like, we are not the person, we're not the company for you.
Yeah.
However, we have had clients that have come on and they're ready to expand their marketing efforts and outsource it to like social media and design and some content. And they come to us with a Wix site and they're not paying us for site management, yet we have to market to their sites because we're still working with some small fries. So how do we get around, well, we can't get around it, but how do we manage that?
Well, I mean, I think there's, at least in my space, is as a developer, there's an adage, you know, work with the tools that you have. And so if someone comes to us and they've got a Wix site, it's decent enough for what they're trying to accomplish, then yeah, we'll accommodate them. You know, we'll build our services on top of that. But when it comes to the conversation of, hey, we'd like to integrate this new feature, we'd like to integrate these things, well, then it really is like, okay, we can't bolt that on. We kind of have to start from scratch. Mm-hmm. And I think usually if they've worked with us for a while, they understand, like, you know, just the net good that's going to do for them. But I think some people who are just coming or used to paying $26 a month to Wix.com to host their, you know, basic blog or basic front page that they built from a template, that's kind of a hurdle for them to think, okay, wow, this is not what I thought it was. Mm-hmm. And so I get that, but still, it's again what they're trying to do.
Speaking of hosting, why should someone host their site with a company like ours instead of just paying GoDaddy, $7 a month?
Yeah, that's a good question. It really comes down to what is being offered with the hosting, because we don't just sell hosting. We sell WordPress support, maintenance, or we say WordPress, but we work with several different content management systems, Wagtail, Drupal, Joomla, but we offer support and maintenance. And a lot of times, I mean, you can just ask people who've ever had to deal with GoDaddy support for a WordPress issue. It's kind of, they'll usually say, hey, it's something on WordPress's end, or something with one of your plugins, but they don't really help you. They just say, like, they tell you where the problem is. And to someone who's not a developer or have any experience with that, that doesn't really help. That's just like, oh, so what you're saying is I'm screwed. And then they call us.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right. And we can work with that. But,
right.
Okay. Well, we've got Nevin and Tony in the room, so I want to include them in the conversation. You awake over there, Nevin? So when we get back, I want to talk about, from Nevin's perspective of selling, why websites are important for businesses, which Brian, obviously you have a lot to say about this too. But then you and Tony work together a lot on the design side of our web work. And so I'd love to hear about the synergy that happens between you guys and how you make that work for our clients. So we'll be right back.
Hey folks, listen up. This is Tony B, lead designer for SJC Marketing. Don't hire your local newspaper for graphic or web design. SJC Marketing has a ton of talented people who are ready to make your brand unique and effective in today's marketplace. Check out some of our work at sjc.marketing, and we hope to serve you soon.
Hey, Brian.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you know any website jokes?
I don't. Well, I mean, I've seen some websites that make me laugh.
Haven't developed yet.
Recording.
Yeah.
That was
so good. We got it.
Oh. Then he turned around and smashed his face against the wall.
Man. Oh my gosh. Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's so good. I don't even know where to go from there. Okay, Nevin.
What?
So you're a sales guy. But I think the uniqueness that we have in you, which we all appreciate, is that you actually have worked in marketing too, and you do account management. Yeah. So you're not just like selling a used car. No offense to used car salesmen. You know what you're talking about and you're passionate about it.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So he thinks.
So at least he so many has sold right us now on that fact. Yeah. So when it comes to websites, what's your pitch? Like, and I know it's genuine. I mean, why is this so important for businesses, whether massive or small?
You know,
I do this all the time to him. I'll ask a question and then I have one more thought I want to plug in. It's just kind of weird to me that there are still businesses that don't have websites in 2018. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of sad that we even have to pitch this, but it's a reality. So carry on.
You know, great question.
You have the smirk of that you're going to say something smart, Alec.
No, I'm not going to say anything smart, Alec. So, but most of consumers nowadays, obviously, they're doing their research, they're making their decisions online on, you know, phones and tablets and their computers and everything. So for a company not to have a website in 2018 just makes zero sense to me. So they're missing the largest market out there. And so when I talk to potential new clients about having a website, if they can't grasp that idea, We probably don't want to do business with them because they're not concerned enough with their business to say that. And maybe they don't need to be. Maybe they've developed a, I don't know, tax service business and they have the business that they want. They've reached the level that they want to reach. They're satisfied with their income. They
don't want to grow. People die. You got to get new clients.
This is true. Referrals. But then some companies, obviously, they're wanting to grow. They're wanting to capitalize on the market and capitalize on people interested in their service. So they have to be online because that's where most of this business is done. So that conversation you can sell a prospective new client on, it's wanting to grow. But then when you get to people that have websites and they're terrible, you know, I talk about their competition and do some research on what their competition's doing and how they rank for SEO or how they have PPC ads and they're driving it to a fantastic looking website. And really a viewer of a website is going to take about 3 seconds and then they're going to just determine whether or not they want to continue on that site or not. Well, if it's terrible, the navigation looks, you know, difficult, they're gone. So working with us to build them a website, it's not a matter of just having a good website, but it's a matter of having a lead gen tool. Mm-hmm. And you talk to it from that perspective. Now, I think the biggest component of it all is you can sell a website, but we want that ability to retain the website hosting and maintenance and all that sort of stuff. And the pitch there that you make is business owners, you know, they have their niche. They have what they're good at. They want to run their business. So I always tell them, you know, let us do what we're good at, and that will leave the time for you to do what you're good at. So if we can host a website and prevent someone from having to call a GoDaddy about a web issue, but we identify it, fix it almost in the back end, they don't even know about it. Mm-hmm. That frees up their time to continue to run their business and grow. So I sell it not as like a freestanding relationship with a client, but more so a partnership in that, and we're kind of an extension of their business from a marketing slash web perspective, especially when you're talking to small guys or small fries, whatever you want to say.
That, I want to say small fries.
Small fries. That they don't have an IT or a marketing department. Mm-hmm. We can truly serve as an extension of that. And usually that resonates well with prospective clients.
Yeah. Brian, what would you add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he hit the nail on the head when he was talking about websites as a lead generation tool, because there is definitely a case to be made for some people that they don't need a website because their business is not consumer facing. Maybe they're a white label provider of some circuitry component or whatever. But for most people who have a website, they want it to do something for them. Mm-hmm. Still with kind of the websites that you see that are subpar or they don't have a lot of attention, it's usually because someone who's in charge of that brand tends to view their website like just a brochure, mm-hmm. right? Just like a brochure that's put on the internet. And that's not usually how their consumers or want to interact with them.
Right.
So it needs to do something for the business. Even if it is just completely PR, mm-hmm. it still needs to give some kind of functionality that the user expects, whether that just be basic contact us or e-commerce or, you know, gallery, what have you. It needs to do something.
Yeah.
And I think for the business that's, you know, running the website should have a clear picture of what exactly it's supposed to do or what they want it to do.
Yeah. So how do you and Tony collaborate then, speaking about the user experience, when we have a new web project, you have your focus of one, actually building it. Tony comes up with this great mock-up and a design, but how are you collaborating on the user experience, the layout, all that kind of stuff?
Well, Anna, for me, the website presence is a multifaceted thing. I think about someone like Unruh Furniture. Mm. Their website tells their story and it does it really well, but it's also a tool for people to go and order furniture. But they go there and they learn about Unruh and their vision, mm-hmm. and all that that encapsulates, and it makes them want to purchase that product because not only do they put out a fantastic product, but mm-hmm. they've marketed it well with visuals, with video, with social media, all of those things combined to generate leads.
Right.
And that's the importance of coming up with all of the little pieces that go into a website, from visuals to good coding to lead capturing and integration with social media and all of those little pieces. It's not just a tool. It tells that company or person's story, and it should help motivate that person. Like when I go to Unruh, I want to buy their furniture because mm-hmm. I believe that they believe in the product that they're putting out, and they do that with all of those things. It does take a lot of work and time and dedication, and so does their furniture, every little piece of furniture that they build. And this isn't a plug for Unruh Furniture. It's just an example that really caught my attention when I saw it. Mm-hmm. That's the type of work that I like to put out, whether you're a bank and you're a community-led bank, mm-hmm. and you want to put that out there that you are strong in community. It's not just about, you know, selling houses and we want to be involved in the community. How can we portray that vision visually, continue to get you leads, get people on board with what they're doing? Again, like I talked about in my design thing, getting people dedicated to a solid product,
yeah.
A product, you know, that is really great. And then having all of the web and all of the tech and all of the good lead capturing stuff to back that up. That's the process that takes time.
Yeah.
Anybody, you can go out and you can do a cheap website that, you know, might even have cool pictures, but there is a ton of time and thought and that goes into everything that Brian talked about and Nevin talked about. And it's not just programmatic. Brian spends a lot of time learning about his craft.
Yeah.
Which I snowballed that. To get to your question, Brian is a lot better designer than I am developer. I'll say that. I say that from the beginning because I don't dabble in code. Because I have in the past and it's just gone way out of my wheelhouse. And I don't really even want to mess with it because I'm not good at it. I would rather focus on my talents and skill set and be really good at what I do and support him. I'm probably like a third wheel for him in some ways. Just like make his job more difficult because sometimes I do nitpick, but that,
like,
I mean, that's what makes a tricycle.
But
so.
There you go.
What?
There you go. That's what makes a tricycle, a third wheel.
A tricycle is greater than bicycle?
Maybe.
It has more balance. Let's just say it has more balance. Anyway, there's a lot that goes into our relationship coming up and really all of our coming up with the story, the vision, the integration, and then how can we make that work for the client and drive business and tell that person's story online.
I mean, I think it's a good point because, you know, I love working with Tony because he has and it's something that it's kind of that left brain, right brain thing, and that every company truly, whether they're trying at it or not, has a visual language. It's that visual language that they try to portray in all of their print, all of their you know, ads. And on their website, I think a good brand has parity across all those channels. And I think sometimes as a developer who works with, you know, a designer, it's been commonplace that the developer has no idea, like, why the designer puts places where that they are. So the product you get back isn't quite right. It's like almost there, but it's not really. And so I've done my best to try to really kind of understand Tony's process so that I can implement, like, I want the mock-up that he shows to be as close to what gets taken live as possible, if not identical. It's one of the reasons that we're heading down to Texas in October.
There you go.
We're going to a design conference down there where I'll be that developer at the design conference. And, you know, and it's really to kind of further that goal, which is to say, okay, I can understand why he's done something the way that he's done so that he doesn't have to style every single page or every single component of the website. As we drill into the website, that I can kind of implement what he's kind of laid out in that visual language to the rest of the site.
And I think that synergy too between the two of them, between Tony and what's your name again?
Brian.
Exactly. Just eyebrow shamed you.
Sorry, I looked at my computer. I got sidetracked. The synergy between Tony and Brian, it makes it easier to really sell SJC marketing from a web development perspective. Also, because Brian is extroverted and to have an extroverted developer is unique, to be able to bring him into those conversations with prospective clients and then tell the story that he just shared with you on the relationship between design and developing, it just makes that process easier because prospective clients then become familiar with and comfortable with the storytellers, right, from the design and developing perspective. And they trust that they can tell this, like, the same level of story that, you know, the furniture company that you mentioned can tell. I think that's why it would be fantastic for people to partner with SJC from a web perspective.
Because we've got that synergy. Yeah, and we're not even talking about, like, the content side of things and bringing in Lisa, our content manager, who helps figure out how to tell that story, not visually, but through the written word. It kind of goes back all the way to the beginning of, like, what you're getting when you pay a company like ours for a website. It's not just like throwing up these designed pages with words on them and some pictures. There's a lot of thought behind what we do. And if it is a custom design or a custom build, like we're doing a custom build coming up right now, we're in the mock-up phase, but it's like you listened to that client and you heard what their vision was, and then you helped them see beyond what their own vision was and to what it could be. And now we're getting to work on a really cool project because of that.
Well, and I think the reason why some websites are cheaper, right? Like take that example to the $250 website or the do-it-yourself. And at that point, you really become constrained by the template to try to get what you are trying to get across to fit into it, as opposed to where if you're going to an actual designer and developer, you're starting with a blank slate. I mean, we're literally looking at you and saying, okay, this is what you want. This is how we can best implement it to make the design, you know, work, you know, with your idea, not so much as, well, we've got this, we want to get across. This template allows us to put some text in that box. So let's try to fit it all in there.
Yeah.
And I think that's a pretty important distinction.
From your developer standpoint, how long should a website, and maybe from a design outlook too, be able to last you? Like if it's a really good quality website, how often do you need to refresh it from a visual and maybe,
Yeah, no, it's a good question. Well, I can say that rate of decay accelerates exponentially when you don't have someone maintaining it.
Right.
Like, so, I mean, to answer that question, if the last thing that you did on your website in terms of content updates was put out a press release, you know, from the day that your website went out, and 3 years later, that's still the most updated content. Right. I mean, it was obsolete day two.
For sure.
But in terms of kind of the overall design and
functionality,
I think one of the things that Tony does well is that he's always looking at what is currently in the industry right now, what are the trends, and even what's going to be coming next. So the reason I think a lot of websites look dated is because it was designed with the current or maybe the, you know, the past trends in mind. And then as soon as that moved or like something became a new standard, it looks like, oh, I mean, that's looks dated.
Yeah.
So we do our best to make, like from my perspective, it kind of future proof to an extent. But of course, you know, technology is exponential.
Oh yeah.
I mean, in 1994, no one was on the internet really. And you know, now it's, we've gone through several iterative updates of what a good website is. So I think it's important to keep in mind that it is going to change.
Yeah. So from the trend perspective, how easily do you jump on board of those, or do you kind of take some things and think, oh, let's just see how that works?
Well, I mean, it just kind of depends on what it is. I mean, if you go back 2 years, everyone was excited when, you know, the Windows 8 tiles came out. So like there was a lot of people in the web world that were trying to integrate the Metro tiles into.
Was that only 2 years ago?
I mean, two to four. I mean, yeah. It's time blends. 13 years ago, I was 9. So I don't know. My point is, it's like, okay, you know, that Metro was cool, but it didn't really have staying power in terms of a lot of, you know, websites. So I think you have to kind of see where they are.
What excites you about what you do?
Well, I mean, I love technology. I love computers. I love, you know, figuring out how things work and making them work. So the fact that I get paid to write code all day. Yeah, that's kind of my ideal setup.
I think what always amazes me about you is that, one, you're, in my old opinion, you're young, but you have a wealth of knowledge because you continue to educate yourself. And if you don't know how to do something, you will figure it out.
Right.
Like there's just something inside you that's like, well, why can't I make this work? Because so much of what you've done has been self-taught. So it's like, no, I'll figure that out. And you will.
Well, I mean, if someone has made it work, then we can make it work.
Yeah.
And that's kind of just the approach I've taken. You know, I think just from my own perspective, I always like when Nevin or Tony bring me something like, hey, can we do this? It's kind of like, I think so. Yeah, let's figure it out. And then it becomes something that we can offer as a service.
As long as you have a whiteboard nearby.
That is true.
You can't.
Without a whiteboard, no innovation is happening. We're screwed.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, this has been really, I hope, encouraging and not chastising to small businesses, but I think we're just trying to stress the importance of having a good quality website and that it's an investment that can last you a long time. It's not necessarily something you'll have to redo, you know, every 2 years if you've got good bones, good content, and you're continuing to update it and keep it fresh. So, and we do have website package offerings because we know some people can't pay a chunk of change up front. So we have some affordable monthly website packages that are more from a templated side, but it's still better than what you could find on Wix or Squarespace because we have someone managing all of the updates on the back end, hosting it, keeping it safe. So sjc.marketing/shineonline for that little plug if you want to check those out. So anyway, thanks again, guys, for being part of the podcast.
Yeah.
What? Go ahead and have one last word, Nevin.
I don't need one.
Okay. Until next time, stay unfiltered.
Continue today's topic with us by tweeting your thoughts to Marketing SJC or visit our website, sjc.marketing.